This is Intersection. I'm Matthew Petty. We're going to turn now to Orlando Fringe Festival. The festival is celebrating its 30th anniversary, and it kicks off next month. WMFE's Clarissa Moon takes a closer look at what's changed for Fringe since the pandemic.
The Orlando International Fringe Theatre Festival is celebrating its 30th anniversary this year. The 14-day festival, featuring hundreds of theatrical performances, was cancelled last year due to COVID-19, but this year it's back with an in-person festival in Lockhaven Park and an all-new online DigiFringe. Here to talk about it are Alana Friskus, the executive director of Fringe, Lindsay Taylor, Fringe's theatre producer, and Lena Feliciano from Celebration Theatre Company. Everybody, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
So, Alana, after having to cancel the festival last year, how is Fringe adapting to the pandemic?
Well, it's definitely been a challenge for sure. We have had to completely retool and rethink every detail of the operations of the festival with safety in mind. And it's been a challenge, but we're getting there. I mean, we've been working our way through it ever since we made the decision to move forward with a physical festival and then monitor and decide whether or not we were going to continue with that. So we are definitely having our physical festival. We've worked through the details with safety in mind at every angle and are really looking forward to doing this safely and getting people back together to gather safely.
You know, Orlando is kind of a hub of reopening right now with the theme parks and different theaters. Did you take inspiration from any specific places when laying out those safety guidelines?
Sure, absolutely. I mean, the parks have been such a great resource for us, and they're right here in our backyard. So it's been a really good resource to look and see what they're doing, how they are, for instance, loading their houses and their people into their theaters. We've taken a lot of inspiration from that and just how people move through large spaces, so that we can then just see how we can duplicate that.
Lindsay, looking at those safety guidelines, do all of those apply to the performers on stage as well? What can audiences expect to see from the performers on stage?
Yeah, the biggest thing they'll see is the performers are required to wear masks this year while performing. There's a wide variety of masks that are available out in the world, and luckily our safety manager is answering all those questions artists have about what is approved and what's not to keep everyone safe, along with just social distancing guidelines as they move and blocking as well, as best we can in these circumstances.
Awesome. Lena, what was it like to create a show around those guidelines?
It's definitely a challenge for any director to all of a sudden have to just change up how you're going to stage a scene, how you're going to have two characters that might be in love interact when they have masks on. And so it's been fun to adapt though. And I think that we rose to the challenge.
Now, Lindsay, the Fringe Festival hosts artists from all around the country and the world. I mean, just from doing a quick scan of the program, you can see that there are artists coming in from New York City and Massachusetts, and even from as places as far off as Japan. Was getting those artists here and hosting them more challenging? Is it going to be more challenging this year with COVID-19?
I think hosting-wise, we are extremely lucky that our billets are the people that host the artists. We're still enthusiastic about extending their homes to people that they don't know, and artists coming in from all over those places. And I think that really helps solidify our artists coming from those places because they know they'll have a safe place to stay, which I think is extremely important, especially in the middle of a pandemic. And I think that did solidify a lot of their decisions to come here. Because a lot of them, we have a group coming from Japan. We have all over the country people coming in. So a lot of it was like, how am I going to be safe and save money and still present my show with as little to worry about as possible?
I did see a thing on the website that there is going to be a DigiFringe, a digital festival for everybody who is unable to come here in person. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yes, we're having another 14-day festival after our in-person 14-day festival, with a significant amount of those shows being artists from all over the world who weren't able to make it to Orlando Fringe. We also have some brand new artists who've never been to Orlando Fringe who have submitted. And then we have about 60% of those artists are artists in the actual May Festival who we're filming their show, and then we'll be presenting it at DigiFringe as well. So there's a huge mix between people you love, people you miss, and people you've never met before.
Alana, the Fringe did a similar hybrid in-person digital festival for the Winter Fringe Mini Fest in January. Did you learn anything from mounting that mini festival a few months ago?
Absolutely. We learned what it's like to have an in-person event with masks on, what it's like to bring people through space. And we also, first and foremost, learned what it's like to bring artists back together again. I think that's been one of the greatest joys and one of the biggest drivers of what we're doing with all of these efforts is how do we get the artists back on the stage? And so from Winter Mini Fest, we were able to, we had a very limited number, only a couple on stage actual events, and then we projected on a screen for the shows. But I think, you know, May will be definitely a different animal with the actual live performances. But what we learned from projecting them on the shows is that people will come out and people are really hungry for arts.
Speaking of getting artists back onto the stage, Lena, how does it feel to, you know, after your show being canceled a year ago, getting to get back on that stage and present your show to an audience?
It is truly exciting. Specifically, Celebration Theater Company and this show that we're doing, Hexed, we have wanted to do this show for a long time. And we actually applied for 2019 Fringe and our name didn't get drawn from the lottery. So we did not get to go in 2019. And then we were finally pulled in 2020. And so we're so excited. I believe the day of our first rehearsal was the day that it was announced that Fringe would be canceled in 2020. And of course, you know, everyone's so understanding about that. You know, but we were like, oh no, we're gonna do this show. When Lindsay reached out to everyone and said, you know, you didn't get to go last year, but do you want to come back in 2021? We're so grateful for that opportunity because this show is so fun. And I'm very excited to present it, especially to the Orlando theater community. I think it's going to be very well received.
Now, the theme of the festival this year is celebrate. Alana, what do you hope to celebrate with the festival this year?
Oh, I mean, you know, keeping this theme of celebration simple this year is where we started from. And really what it is morphing into is just an opportunity to bring people together. Getting the artists on stage, having the audiences able to experience live art again. I mean, it is truly something to celebrate as people have been not out and about over the past year. And this is an opportunity to come together and enjoy art and soak it in. I'm just super excited about it.
What kind of an impact do you hope that being together again and experiencing that art has on the community?
Well, I hope it's going to reinvigorate. It's going to jumpstart us back into going out and seeing art again and prove that we can do it safely. All of our shows will have limited capacity. Our houses will be between 30 and 50% full. And we are keeping distance between all the audience members and the audience and the artists. But, you know, I think proving that in a large scale situation like our festival where the shows are back to back to back and there are so many all at once and that we're able to hopefully bring a little order to the chaos that is normally Fringe. You know, usually so many people are just gathered in so many different places all the time. We just explode all over Lock Haven Park and we're just everywhere. So figuring out a way to bring a little order to that, I think will prove that we can do this and that the arts community can thrive in this pandemic.
If you're just joining us, I'm talking to Alana Friscus, the executive director of Orlando Fringe, Lindsay Taylor, Fringe's theater producer, and Lena Feliciano from Celebration Theater Company. We're talking about the return of the Orlando Fringe Festival and that theme of celebration this year. Now, Lindsay, the board president, Matt Brofman, mentioned in his welcome letter that another thing to celebrate is that Fringe is expanding its diversity and inclusion and accessibility efforts. Can you tell me more about that?
Sure. Back in June, we started our Inclusion, Diversity, and Accessibility Committee with a general effort to amplify more voices and to have our festival be more accessible to our artists and our patrons. We had an initial diversity lottery where we accepted three people from underrepresented communities that has been in existence for the past like 4 or 5 years. We this year have expanded it to 30%. So 30% of the people who are selected to be a part of our Fringe lottery will be from the Amplify Voices lottery. So that's a huge step right there to begin with. We also will be offering more American Sign Language shows interpreted this year than ever before, along with audio description. We're actually having a training class this weekend where we're going to train people to be able to describe shows to people who are blind or have low vision. So it's really exciting. We are just beginning. We hope to be a massive project in years to come, but I really think we've made a lot of great strides in the past 8 or 9 months.
So in Mayor Buddy Dyer's welcome letter, he wrote that Fringe gave more than 446,227 dollars back to the artist and garnered about $4.3 million for Orlando's economy. Alana, is that boost for the economy something that you're hoping for this year as well?
Absolutely. I mean, we've been wanting to hit that $500,000 mark back to artists for some time, and we got so close in 2019. And when we were pulled back for 2020, it left a huge hole, a financial impact hole on the artists. And so that has been a huge driver for us, is how can we get more and more money into the artists' pockets? Because we give 100% of the ticket sales from every show back to each individual arts group. And it does result in quite a bit. You said the 446,000 in 2019. We want to just grow and hit and get bigger and bigger and more. And we hope with not only this year's physical festival, but with the DigiFringe supplementing some of that revenue. I don't think we'll quite hit those numbers this year with our limited capacity, but our goal is in 2022 to really, really have that huge impact.
Now, it is the Fringe Festival's 30th anniversary this year. Now, this is for everyone. Looking back, how has the festival grown and changed over the last 30 years? And from a big picture standpoint, from your personal experience?
Well, I started Fringing in 1998, and that's when we were still downtown. So Fringe started in 1992 in downtown storefronts that weren't air conditioned, and there were train tracks beside all the venues and, you know, rats running across the rafters. And it was so gritty and real and raw, and audiences came out and they stuck with us. And we've definitely changed and grown up since our move to Lock Haven Park with the permanent theaters. And just as we've grown, our audiences and artists have grown with us over the years. And I think that's one of the most exciting things to see, is we're not only elevating the audience experience, but also the artists. I'm really proud of that. I see us as a beginning pipeline for artists in Central Florida to test out new art and cut their teeth on new artistic endeavors, whether it's producing or acting or lighting or, you know, whatever they are interested in doing in theater. And Orlando Fringe has been able to offer that over the years to this community, which is a real gem. And I'm very proud of where we are and how far we've come in the past 30 years. And I know my journey has come full circle, where I started as, you know, a volunteer in 1998, and then here as executive director. And I'm just honored and proud to be a part of this incredible organization that gives so much back to the community and the artists of where we live.
Lindsay?
Yeah, I started as an artist in 2012 after stumbling upon the festival by taking an improv class at SAC Comedy Lab. So for me, I'm fairly new to the Fringe, but I guess I've been around about one third of its existence. It just opened the realm of possibilities for me as someone who wasn't really involved in theater at all, except going to see shows. It really inspired me to be more involved and write my own shows and tour my own shows, and now producing the festival. So it's really exciting. And Fringe really does that for people. It inspires people and lets you be confident in your work and want to learn new things, which I think is the most valuable part of it all. And it's a welcoming environment for artists, producers, creators to do that.
Lena, how about you?
Yeah, my first experience with Fringe, I haven't lived in Orlando very long. It was a few years ago. I went to see one of my friends in a Fringe show because, you know, I have a lot of theater friends. And since creating Celebration Theater Company, worked with actors from all over Orlando and all over the theme park areas too. And so he just invited me to come see his show. And I just loved the whole atmosphere. I think my favorite part about Fringe is that you can just like make a day for yourself, and it could be like you could just like create a schedule of all the shows you want to see and just spend the whole day, and then you can, you know, hang out in Lock Haven Park in between your shows. And it's just a day of really great theater and seeing other people, other theater people that you vibe really well with. And it just makes for a great experience all around. And as an artist this year, it's been a very challenging but extremely fun and exciting experience. We're so used to mounting main stage productions, you know, where we have a week of tech week and a lot of things we do to prepare. And so Fringe is a little bit different, and I get to kind of improvise a little bit more with what we're doing, but I also get to like be more creative in when it comes to writing. I've written the book for this show that we're producing, and I'm really excited for the Fringe community to come out and see it. And just everything, everyone I have talked to on the production side of Fringe as well has just been so nice and so welcoming and so understanding of first-time Fringers, and just been so helpful. And I always apologize to Lindsay for having so many questions. But every single time I talk to someone, they're always just so helpful. So very excited.
Lastly, Alana, what's the future of the Orlando Fringe Festival?
Well, Orlando Fringe will be around for many, many years to come. And I hope there's a lot of growth and expansion and just have more and more impact with artists. I will say in the immediate future, next year, Orlando Fringe has won the bid to host World Fringe Congress 2022, which is an every other year occurrence where all the fringe producers from all over the world, and there are over 300 fringes around the world, we all come together in one location. It's been in Edinburgh, Scotland, where Fringe got its original home for several years. It's been in Montreal. And then in 2020, it was in Adelaide, Australia. And Lindsay and I were able to go and visit there with all of the other producers and learn just so much. And so we are so excited to host Orlando's hosting World Fringe Congress next year during our festival. And so, you know, just elevating Orlando Fringe to have that global impact and even stay more connected to the global Fringe community is really exciting.
Well, Alana Friskus is the executive director of the Orlando Fringe Festival. Lindsay Taylor is Fringe's theater producer. And Lena Feliciano is here from Celebration Theater Company. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
WMFE's Clarissa Moon with that interview. Support for Intersection comes from Advent Health and from our listeners. Special thanks to Clarissa Moon for her production assistance with this week's show. You can download the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. And you can find archived shows on wmfe.org/intersection. I'm Matthew Petty. Thanks for listening.